want to talk about Mary and about Martha today. Start with Mary, you know the one. Maybe I can pull back a bit. Chronologically, it's not in the same order, but you'll remember she was the one who took some beautifully fragranced spikenard and wasted it on Jesus' feet. At least that's what the treasurer said. That could have been sold and done so much more good, and so Mary, I guess, didn't cooperate in everything all the time. Well, we got her again, working again here. At least she's consistent in that she is doing what might not be expected, and thereby leaving teachings for us for all days. You remember last week, we shared a bit about the Samaritan, the man from Samaria. The first shock we got in that one was that he could be my neighbor. And not only that, somebody from Samaria could be the model for what it is to live properly and to show neighborhood. Oh, we got it. Okay, I didn't see the little on the bottom. Okay, well, poor Mary and at least not Mary, but the followers of Jesus and the model that a Samaritan could be good. The other shock in there was this very vision, kind of a foretaste of the equality by which Jesus lives and preaches. In order to talk about this situation, I think, we need a little cultural recognition. In first century Palestine, as I am told, and I have no reason not to believe, the practice of hospitality was very important, as it is indeed to this day. Somebody has said, I have it as a quote, this practice would allow a guest to share the sacredness of the family space. That's what hospitality is. Share a guest in the sacredness of the family space. The role of women in providing that hospitality was also specified in what was to be done. Food preparation and cooking. And that was a task, as I say, very important in providing the hospitality. It was pretty unusual for any woman to join the male guests before those particular tasks had been completed. Failing to be the kind of host that was described equaled, in fact, disrespecting the guest. The guests themselves disrespected by everybody not doing their bit. Clearly, I think you will see that that does not mean today, when you hear some of these words, exactly what it meant then. Neither does it mean the stuff we enjoy so much about Mary and Martha, and I'm a Mary and you're a Martha, and well, that's all crazy. It's fun, but it's not about the gospel. It's about stories we like to make up about ourselves, but as I hope you will see by the time I'm finished, neither is excluded from being either. They are people. So let's think a while then about Martha. Believe me, this is not the kind of woman who would feel intellectually incompetent, better kept in the kitchen, not up to what is happening in the men's conversations. In fact, as the story says, she had her own home. Normally, when the home is named, it would be by the man of the house, whoever that was. And clearly there was no man in the house, but Martha was the one who had the house, owned it, administered it, and so on. Her father may have left, may have died, we don't know. Lazarus had probably died by the time the story is being referencing. And so she owned her home. That would mean she was a pretty stable and independent person, quite capable of handling all that was needed in the total experience of life. Her duty still, in the culture, remained primarily to hospitality. And that meant she would oversee the care of her guests and make sure that they were well looked after. And it would be especially important this time round because she was welcoming Jesus and his disciples. So, in the story, Mary clearly neglects her traditional duty. No matter what we think of that, that's what's being said when the story is being told. She prefers and chooses to listen to Jesus' teaching. And Martha doesn't get it because there are other duties first, and they're not complete, and they're driving her crazy. We need another bit of historical recollection in order to piece this part in. You'll find it in Acts chapter 6. They were having their services and their gatherings, and after the worship itself, they served the meal, and they were having troubles getting it served all. Somehow one group got left out each time. And so those responsible were feeling very badly because nobody is to be neglected. So they took it to the group and said, what are we going to do about this? And interestingly enough, the group said, what we need to do is make sure that the members are not neglected, but equally that we do not neglect the Word of God in order to wait tables. Interesting that they put the Word of God mustn't be neglected too. Even then, they could get too busy with busy and miss what was going on and what was being considered from the Word of God. So, they found a solution. And the solution was to establish, what we now call the Order of the Deacons, which is an order of service designated to make sure it all gets done. And those seven will be known to do the job, and that'll free the other leaders to serve the Word of God while the people get served at the same time. There are two kinds of ministry, kind of anticipated and beginning to get described in the book of Acts. The ministry of the Word, which is really the whole of worship, and the ministry of service. Life in Jesus was and is about those two kinds of ministry. And life in Jesus says both, each has equal importance. diaconia, service, and the Word of God. Each is required to be effective for the other. But somehow, priorities have to be set in some way. You can't have two equal tasks and not have one being the lead task if all are expected to participate in both. And so though equal, there is a kind of priority in dealing with, and pretty clear, that is the Word of God. For the deacons themselves and for the establishment of their ministry, first of all, they were required to study the Word of God and then engage fully in service. And so it's in this sense that Jesus said, Mary had chosen the better part. Mary began where faithfulness begins. She had chosen that priority. I think she goofed off a bit too, but I didn't say that in the book. Now, some of what that means. Well, I think first and foremost, what that says is that one thing undergirds all who follow Jesus, and that is the act of listening to his word. That's the center of our life. Now hang on, I'm going to say a little more about the world's role in a moment. But that's the way that comes. Some of you might be tempted to say that, well, that sure undergirds all we read last week about, you know, do it and quit this delaying, etc. I think not. Sometimes that may well be so. Many times that's exactly what we have to say, because our talking and our thinking and our meditating and our carrying on has gone on so long that we can't do it. There's no time left. So in that case, you need a little reminder, a little push, and a little prompt, so it can happen. Sometimes there is a call for a shifted emphasis, but this principle, listening to God's word, is what will lead us. Let me be clear, though, that our task, is to serve the world God loves. To serve the world God loves. I'm trying to remember the author who wrote so well on that many years ago. And I can't, but if you ask me at the door, I'll remember by then and I'll let you know. But serving the world God loves, that's our task. Now that doesn't mean serve whatever the world wants. It doesn't mean serve every harebrained idea which comes up. It means serve the world with the word modeled and taught in our Lord Jesus. That's where the ministry to the world starts. We see the need, having been filled first with the knowledge and understanding of God, and respond to that need appropriately. Active service is essential and is known through the sensitivity we have and we develop in our relationships to the world. But attentive listening is also part of the deal. We must allow time for waiting, for hearing, for being given direction on God's word and gift for the day. Now the big thing, and this is why you won't hear me talking about Mary's and Martha's, because we're not allowed to be that. The big thing is we all have a responsibility for both. Men, women, those who like in the kitchen, those who like anywhere but the kitchen. We all have the responsibility for both. We will find appropriate emphasis is part of our task in discerning that. Our God is a God of love, as shown in Jesus Christ our Savior, one who could meet the powers of death and overcome them so that life reigns. Our task is to be the instrument, the body, of that activity, wherever we find ourselves and wherever we are called. In the course of doing that, we will need to have nurturing, both physically and through our encounters and teachings with each other. Nourishing creates strength. Strength ministers best and encounters what the world will still try to beat us with, but with the love of God, which can never be overcome. Amen.